fun guy.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball. A huge day in the NBA. We're coming to you live today from Las Vegas before the second day of the NBA Summer League. So much has happened in the last 12 hours, just an absolute bombshell late last night here. Of course, I am talking about Kawhi Leonard and Paul George both joining the LA Clippers. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it,
I apologize about the quality of the music and the sound effects. For some reason, my mixer and input stuff isn't completely working with that, so you're going to have to deal with it as a little bit crackly today, but the content will still be the same in today's show. So let's talk about free agency. We're going to talk a little bit about Summer League later on as well, but the free agency stuff is what we need to talk about now. And of course, the big news is Kawhi Leonard, the fun guy himself, the board man, getting signed by the LA Clippers, and in the process, convincing Paul George to demand a trade from the Oklahoma City Thunder, which they acquiesced to, and sent Paul George off to the Clippers as well. Now, going back to the Thunder is the Italian cock, the rooster, Danilo Gallinari, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, plus 5 first-round draft choices, and 2 pick swaps. 3 of those draft picks are the Clippers picks. 2 of them are the Miami Heat picks. And one of those is protected, lottery protected. And then there are 2 pick swaps as well. It's an unprecedented draft haul from the Thunder. The reports out of Oklahoma City seem to be that Russell Westbrook could also be on the move as well. So we'll talk about the Thunder side of this in a second. But for the Clippers, of course, it's massive. It is a huge, huge haul to give up this many assets, this many draft picks and this many players. Now, the Lakers didn't give up this much for Anthony Davis. I think we do have to look at the Clippers making this move in terms of them trading those picks for Kawhi and Paul George. And yes, Kawhi was a free agent, but he was only really going to come if Paul George was there. So they had to make these moves. I also think the rest of the Clippers roster is more filled out than what the Lakers is. We've got Patrick Beverley there. You've got Landry Shamet there on the Clippers as well. The table, Montrezl Harrell, Lou Williams, all those guys are still around surrounding Paul George and Kawhi. Whereas with the Lakers, we've got Kyle Kuzma and Davis and LeBron. And that's really it. Of course, they added a couple of guys last night as well as soon as the Kawhi Leonard news broke. But in terms of value for guys like Kawhi and Paul George, I think that Paul George and Kawhi's numbers, that they should be relatively similar. You're still probably going to have some load management issues with Kawhi for next season. Paul George comes from a team where he was playing with Russell Westbrook, obviously a high usage player, but Westbrook's usage has dipped in recent seasons, and we've seen that in those 2 years with Paul George, his usage did come down. So George was able to garner a lot of those shot attempts in Oklahoma City anyway. I think that same thing's going to happen. Patrick Beverley's not a big shot guy. Montrezl Harrell's not a big shot guy. Ivica Zubac isn't a big shot guy. Landry Shamet's not a high usage guy. Lou Williams can be, but he can also tone his game down, and he will for guys like George. And Kawhi comes from a team where he's sharing with, you know, Kyle Lowry, Marc Gasol, Jonas Valanciunas, Serge Ibaka, all those guys, Pascal Siakam. So I think that these guys are going to have fairly similar numbers to what they did last season. Of course, guys like Landry Shamet taking a big step forward now playing alongside these two players, it's going to be tough. I didn't really like Shamet's fantasy game massively anyway, but it is going to be a lot tougher for him now to be able to take any sort of steps forward and be more than a spot-up shooter, which is what he's going to be. Lou Williams takes a significant hit. I think Patrick Beverley's value, while it never comes from points, it comes from rebounds and threes and steals. He's still going to be able to do that, and his minutes still should be pretty high. But the other thing is with Beverley is that he doesn't have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander now, you know, cutting into his minutes. So Bev comes back, plays 30-plus a night, and probably can have a better fantasy season than last year. Montrezl Harrell, one of the highest usage players on this team, will probably take a little bit of a hit. His value comes from efficiency. So much of his value also came from an elevated block rate last season. I think there's a chance that Harrell might be a marginal disappointment this season with a perhaps drop in usage, and maybe his block rate does normalize. Need to really, you know, crunch all the numbers to check that one out. But that is obviously a huge, huge move from the Clippers with getting Kawhi and Paul George there. The news of Paul George's discontent with Russell Westbrook was well hidden, but apparently that's a big factor as to why he wanted to leave the Thunder. He also wanted to play with Kawhi. So huge stuff, huge ramifications here with Oklahoma City as well as to what they're going to do with Westbrook. Of course, Westbrook's contract could loom as one of the worst in the NBA moving forward when he's paid about $50 million in 3 or 4 years' time. So who is going to take that deal on? We know he can be quite destructive at times for teams as well. Also can be awesome at times. With his production, I think, you know, people looking at Westbrook, oh, he's going to be a really vault back up the fantasy rankings, maybe. But does this fix his free throw percentage? I don't see how it will. Does it fix his field goal percentage? If anything, it makes it significantly worse. So there are still a few things holding Westbrook back. Now, will he take more shots? Yeah, almost, there's no doubt that he will take more shots now that Paul George is gone. But that has a double impact. It has an increased negative impact on his field goals. His rebounds and assists, they might go up as well. We might be looking at some really big lines from Westbrook. But the thing that separates him from being that 10th or 11th guy or 8th guy is field goal, free throw percentage, and steal rate, which I don't think is really that influenced by what Paul George does. His last big season, that MVP season, was when he hit a big amount of threes as well. He hasn't been able to do that since. Will that flukily return as well? I'm not so sure. So I don't think Westbrook is in the mix for a number one or even a top five pick despite Paul George leaving. We have to remember that the Rooster is no slouch either. So Danilo Gallinari is not coming across and taking no shots. He's coming across and he's going to be a pretty solid player. Now, will he be as good as last year, where he was the best player on the Clippers for chunks of the season, especially once Tobias Harris was traded? Probably not. But he is going to come in there and be able to put up, I think, pretty solid top 100-ish type numbers. I just don't think we should be looking at him as a top 50 guy, probably top 70. But he will get his points. He will get to the free throw line. He will shoot his free throw as well. I think he'll work pretty well in Oklahoma City. Shea is the interesting one. He had a real opportunity to be a 30-minute-a-night guy with the Clippers. If the Thunder are serious, and they should be, he should be getting all of Dennis Schroeder's minutes. Of course, there's Schroeder, Westbrook, and Gilgeous Alexander there in the backcourt. Dennis Schroeder is not a player they should be prioritizing. Now, if Westbrook gets traded, that changes a whole lot of stuff here with this Thunder team and how it lines up. I think it's going to be hard for Shea to be a standard league guy behind Russ and with Schroeder, who won't be eliminated from the rotation, even though that's probably what I would do in this scenario. But he's getting minutes, and he can get minutes at the two. But of course, there's Terry Ferguson, there's MC Hamadou Diallo, and we have to remember Andre Robertson's going to come back from injury at some point, so he's going to be in the mix there as well. So it's going to be hard for Shea to carve out a 20-plus minute-a-night role. Of course, it's going to kill Schroeder's value as well, that Shea's there now. He won't have any standard league relevance whatsoever, but it doesn't feel like that the Thunder are finished making deals. So quite a few other things could go down with this Oklahoma City team, with this crazy stuff going on. Danny Green goes to the LA Lakers after the Kawhi news. 2 years, $30 million, and his contract going to the Lakers. You would have to assume he is slated to start at the two. The Lakers also brought in JaVale McGee for a 2-year, $8 million contract, player option on the second year. A bit of a confusing contract with that player option for JaVale. He played league minimum last year. He played well, and he's going to be the starting center. I don't understand NBA teams and NBA players. Absolute charade. Anthony Davis is a center. He's not a power forward. I want to play power forward. Good on you, Anthony. You're not a power forward. You are a center. It's your best position. It's the best position for the team. I don't understand this. So what this means is the Lakers are going to be trotting out LeBron James at small forward. And he is a power forward. Anthony Davis, a power forward, who is a center. And JaVale McGee at center. And Kyle Kuzma is going to be coming off the bench. Now, I don't think Kuzma is that good. You all know that. I think he's best suited on in a sixth-man role on a solid team. This isn't a solid team at this point. They're just that. The ideal thing is LeBron, Kuzma, Davis. Like, that was already playing LeBron out of position pretty much at power forward, or Kuzma out of position at small forward, whichever way you want to look at it. Sorry, not LeBron out of position. Whoever plays at the three there, LeBron or Kuzma, is out of position. But now you're adding another center who, Ramona Shelbourne reporting that McGee coming in likely to be their starting center. I just don't see the need for that. Now, will McGee come in and play the 20-plus minutes he played last year, where he was a top 100 guy, especially down the stretch? I think with Davis around, he hopefully Frank Vogel just starts him, maybe plays him 2 7-minute stints or 8-minute stints in the first half, and limits him to 20 or 16 minutes or something like that, and they go with more LeBron, Kuzma, Davis lineups. But that remains to be seen. McGee could still very well be a standard league player for this Lakers team. couple of things that on the last podcast I did when I was trying to react to all the free agency news that I forgot. I was talking about the Lakers or the Mavericks front court with Dwight Powell and Maxi Kleber there, and I forgot to talk about Porzingis. Of course, he did sign that 5-year max extension with the Mavericks, so he's going to take a lot of value away from Powell and Kleber. So those guys probably not going to be standard league players with Porzingis around. Although, depending on how they start it, again, Porzingis is a center, he's not a power forward, but they could put KP and Dwight Powell out there, but there is a risk of Powell and Kleber's minutes being pushed into that 26-27 zone, limiting their value. And with Indiana, I was struggling to find out who was, or think in my brain, who was coming in at the small forward position. Of course, that's likely to be TJ Warren, who the Pacers acquired for free in a trade with the Phoenix Suns. If we're talking about the Phoenix Suns and trades, they did make a deal. They sent Josh Jackson and De'Anthony Melton across to the Memphis Grizzlies. The Suns make some strange moves at times, and pretty much their whole offseason has been strange. We know Josh Jackson has been trash, and they wanted to get rid of him. I don't understand giving up on De'Anthony Melton as quickly as they did. It doesn't make really any sense to me. So it was Kyle Korver and Javon Carter going to the Suns, and the Suns sent out Melton, they sent out Josh Jackson, and they sent out 2 second-round picks, which, why are we giving up two assets here to get off? Who's the best player in this deal? De'Anthony Melton? Maybe it's Kyle Korver, but he's 38 years old. And the Suns are waiving him. So what's the point of this? Just to get off Josh Jackson's contract? Cut him. Why are you giving up three other assets? 2 second-rounders? Maybe they won't be good, but the Suns' second-round picks have been top 30. Sorry. Top 35, top 36 lately. So why are we giving up two of these picks, plus De'Anthony Melton, who you traded for last offseason? The lack of direction with James Jones in this front office is astoundingly poor, and I think he's doing a shit job. We'll see how this all works out for Phoenix, but really just nonsense sort of trading. The Grizzlies, on the other hand, are making some really big moves. Now, as for Melton, where he fits in, of course, Ja Morant's the starting point guard. Avery Bradley's gone. Mike Conley's gone. D'Lon Wright's the interesting one. If he comes back to Memphis, it's going to limit what Melton can do. But otherwise, if Carter's gone, if Wright is gone, Melton's going to slide in as the backup point guard. And he's going to be an interesting steals stream guy, but someone to watch for deeper leagues, especially if Ja struggles or gets hurt. I do have some belief in what De'Anthony Melton can do. So he's going to be an interesting guy to watch his development over the coming seasons. Let's have a look at some other moves that did go on. The free agency's been a little bit dry over the last couple of times. I mentioned the Patrick Beverley going back to the Clippers already. Nikola Mirotic over to Barcelona. I'm trying to remember exactly which things that we did in the last show, because it has been a while since recording. Let's go through these lists. That's the other trade. Memphis, another trade. Dwight Howard was traded by the Washington Wizards for CJ Miles. Dwight will be waived by the Grizzlies, apparently. That opens up a ton of minutes for Tom Bryant, who has re-signed with the Washington Wizards. He will be their starting center. Of course, Punch Bob is gone. So Jabari Parker is really sitting around here, the only option. So Bryant has to get big minutes now. There's Rui Hachimura as well as a power forward. But Bryant has a real chance, I believe, Thomas Bryant, to be a top 50 player for this season. Because I think he's going to have to get quite significant minutes in Washington with Dwight now out of town and a free agent. CJ Miles can come in and help at the three. They've got Troy Brown at that position at the moment after losing Jeff Green and Trevor Ariza. My name is Jeff. So there's an option there for Brown. Brown could sneakily be a standard league guy. CJ Miles can come in and help at that position as well. So that's another trade that has gone down. So interesting amount of trades and sign and trades, which had been absolutely dead sign and trades, if they'd have come out of the woodwork all over the place in the NBA over the last couple of days. And the consequence of these sign and trades is a lot of teams, it makes them hard capped. So that is interesting that so many teams have decided to go that route with these sign and trade deals that have been agreed upon. Let's have a look here with Sacramento. We know that they got The Undertaker and Rashawn Holmes in as centers. That means they lost Willie Cauley-Stein. He went to the Golden State Warriors, and he's probably going to be their starting center, which is fine for him to be the starting center, but we know that he's been a starting center. Yeah, before everyone gets overly excited about Willie Cauley-Stein, he's been a starting center in the NBA for the past, well, basically his entire career, and he hasn't been that good. And now he goes to a Warriors team, maybe they can change him around, but one of the reasons why he's so bad is he just has a non-existent block rate. And as a center, you want a little bit more than that. A poor free throw shooter, not a high usage scorer. After his, he's going to come out and make all this money and, you know, contract year, big performances. None of that actually happened. And he's yet to have a top 100 season. He played 27 minutes a game last year, 28 the year before that, and couldn't even crack the top 110. I just don't see it for him this season. He can be that, well, he averaged 12-8 last year in 27 minutes for Sacramento, but is he better than Kevon Looney? I say absolutely not. Damian Jones, who Steve Kerr seems to love, is still there. Will they get Alan Smaljic into the rotation, who played pretty well in Summer League yesterday? So there are some interesting options there. I think Cauley-Stein is not going to be a standard league guy for the Golden State Warriors. Dorian Finney-Smith, a 3-year, $12 million contract with the Dallas Mavericks. Finney-Smith is one of the worst fantasy players in the NBA, so not someone who's going to have too much of an impact. Brad Wanamaker going back to the Boston Celtics. Ryan Archer-Jackino back to the Chicago Bulls. The little dog, Glenn Robinson III, going to the Golden State Warriors. He is not a good NBA player, so they do need wing depth, no doubt, but not someone who's all that interesting. Vanilla Tice back to the Celtics now. Daniel Tice could have a role in Boston with only Enes Kanter and Rob Williams really there in the front court, with Al Horford and Aaron Baines both going. So there is some value there maybe in deeper leagues for Tice. Noah Vonleh going to the Minnesota Timberwolves is an interesting one. Basically going to slide into the Taj Gibson role, you would imagine. Robert Covington playing a lot of the four. I could see Vonleh playing some significant minutes, but as we saw last year, he's pretty hit or miss in terms of consistency and value, and on a team where he isn't their best player, like with the Knicks last season, he's not going to be able to have as much of an impact and probably not going to be a standard league guy. Talking about Jeff Green, he signed a one-year deal with the Utah Jazz. Just a bench type of role, 20, 21 minutes a night, I'd say, behind Bojan Bogdanovic, plays some center maybe as a backup to Rudy Gobert, although Tone Bradley has played pretty well in Summer League. Can he step up into that role that was filled by Epe Udo and to Derek Favors last season? I'm not so sure. Green is not going to be anywhere near a 12 or 14 or probably 16 team league player. Jared Dudley goes to the Lakers. He'll play some minutes there. He's got to play behind Kuzma, behind LeBron, behind Davis, who are all power forwards, apparently. So Dudley's going to have a struggle to have an impact there. Luke Kornet, he moves to the Chicago Bulls, in which is a really good deal. Kornet had some really strong advanced numbers for the Knicks last season. He comes across to a team that has Wendell Carter, Larry Markkanen, Thad Young in that front court. They drafted Daniel Gafford, who played very well last night in Summer League. Kornet is an interesting player. The minutes aren't going to be there for him to be a consistent impact guy, but he is an interesting character to go across and someone to watch. Manny Moutier goes to the Utah Jazz. At least he won't be the Knicks' starting point guard anymore. After that nonsense that Fizdale jammed down our throats last season, he's going to head across there to be the backup to Mike Conley. Dante Exum's still there, but Harold Neto gone. Moutier's fantasy value is pretty much non-existent. Old baby neck, Wilson Chandler. Chandler? That's the one. Wilson Chandler goes to the Brooklyn Nets. Again, 30 minutes a night is not enough for him to be standard league relevant, and he won't be playing that much. Scooter Magruder, back to the Clippers on a 3-year, $15 million contract. His minutes are going to be pretty limited with two guys called Paul George and Kawhi Leonard in front of him. Not going to be really anything of a fantasy option. Darius Miller to the New Orleans Pelicans, back there, 2 years, $14 million. Seems a lot for Darius Miller. Just a three-point stream specialist. Boban went to Dallas, just add him in with the Porzingis, Powell, Kleber front court, not an impact guy there at all. Markieff Morris off to the Detroit Pistons as a backup to Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond. 22-minute maximum, I would say, for Morris. Not a guy that's going to be really touching the sides of fantasy value. TJ McConnell to the Indiana Pacers, 2 years, $7 million. He comes in there after being the backup in Philadelphia. TJ can be an interesting source of steals at times, but he's going to be a backup here. Hopefully he's not taking these minutes away from Aaron Holiday, which is a bit of a concern, but neither of those guys are going to be standard league guys anyway. Jake Layman has gone to the Minnesota Timberwolves as an assign-and-trade with the Portland Trail Blazers. Layman comes in and is the backup there to Andy Wiggins. There's Jarrett Culver, there's Josh Okogie as well. Layman is just going to be a reserve player who probably finds himself in a similar situation to where he was in Portland. the aforementioned Hal Neto, who did get waived by Utah, he went to Philadelphia as just as a free agent, so he's going to be the backup to Benny Simmons. Neto can provide really good play, good point guard play, but he's not a fantasy asset. And KCP and Quinn Cook, two other players going to the Lakers, two point guard, shooting guard types. Of course, Cook the point guard, KCP the shooting guard. 2 years, $16 million, seems like a lot for KCP, but the Lakers had a lot of cap space to spend it on. He is probably going to be, and they just signed Danny Green as well to play the same position, so KCP is going to be in a very limited role, I would imagine, on this Lakers team. 20 minutes a night max would be my guess for KCP, so not going to be an impact guy really at all, while Quinn Cook comes in. Hey, maybe they start him. They don't have a point guard at all, the Lakers, so Rajon Rondo could be coming back. God, that'll be a disaster. Quinn Cook as the backup. Still waiting on decisions for a few players. DeMarcus Cousins, one we're really waiting for. Marcus Morris still out there as well, but not apart from Cousins, not really big, not big needle movers at all. Let's talk a little bit of Summer League from yesterday. First day in Vegas. Of Summer League, there were 10 games on. There was an earthquake, of course, the second earthquake that we've had here in Vegas. The first one was pretty disastrous. Not disastrous, just sitting in bed and the whole room started shaking. And then one at Summer League. I just actually left the building when that earthquake hit and the games were cancelled. Standout performances, Kyrie Thomas for the Detroit Pistons looked pretty good in his game, scored 26 points. Svi Mykhailiuk also scored 17 points for that Pistons team. With Derrick Rose there, it does limit some of those opportunities for guards like Thomas to step into the rotation, which is annoying because I just don't think that Rose should be getting these opportunities. But Kyrie, it was a guy that I liked coming out of college, and he looked pretty good here. For the Sixers, Zaire Smith, a couple of very athletic alley-oops. He handled the ball quite a bit as well, tallied 5 assists. The Sixers losing both General Saunders and JJ Redick have an opening there on the wing. Of course, they did bring in Al Horford and Joshy Richardson into that lineup, but Zaire is going to have to step up. He looked pretty good. I still believe in him long-term from a fantasy asset point of view for Dynasty. Whether he gets big minutes this season remains to be seen. Shake Milton will be battling Hal Neto for that backup point guard role. He looked pretty good as well. And Norval Powell, who they signed to a two-way deal, I believe, he was really, really impressive defensively. Same as Matisse Thybulle, who just continued his ball-stealing ways with 3 steals. For that Sixers team, for the Bucks, Jock Landale looked really good, the Aussie, 25 points. Sterling Brown was okay, but otherwise it was just a very, very Summer League team that the Bucks trotted out there, and nothing really major to take away from that. The Minnesota Timberwolves and the Cleveland Cavs played. Dylan Windler continues to look pretty strong for Cleveland. There are lots of rotation opportunities there in Cleveland, and he continues to put up numbers. It's going to be interesting to see how their entire rotation shakes out, but another 15 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists. He shoots, he scores, he rebounds, he assists. He can do quite a lot of things, and he is absolutely, to me, a name to watch. Yovel Zuzman, an undrafted guy playing for this Cleveland Cavs team, I thought it should have been drafted. He is an interesting guy to watch to see if he can latch on anywhere. No Darius Garland playing. For the Timberwolves, Josh Okogie was playing. I don't imagine he plays a huge amount. Got to the line 10 times, looked pretty good out there. Probably doesn't need to be playing in Summer League at this point. Nah, Kata Bates-Diop also looked pretty good, but with some of the moves that the Timberwolves have made, maybe he won't be getting as many minutes as we saw. The Miami Heat, they smacked the Chinese national team 103-62. Tyler Hero, I was pretty down on him coming into the season. He's had some really good summer leagues. I'm not sure he's going to translate this over to NBA-level competition, but another 23 points for him. Shot the ball a lot, didn't shoot it that well. His ball handling and passing is a little bit better, and that tends to be the case for a lot of Kentucky guys. I'm still not overreacting to this. I thought Duncan Robinson looked really good, and he could absolutely have a rotation role for this Heat team with his shooting ability. Yonte Maten also looked all right as a defensive option, and a guy who really did play well in the G League last season. Dallas and Brooklyn. I don't know why Jarrett Allen was playing for Dallas. It didn't really make a huge amount of sense to me. Jahna Musa and Rowdy Rodions Kurucs, both in the starting lineup. Theo Pinson, all of these guys are Nets contracted players, and you know that I believe in Musa and Kurucs quite a bit. Jalen Hand struggled. Isaiah Cordinier, I don't think he's ever going to become an NBA player. Jarrett Allen should be starting over DeAndre Jordan, and he almost definitely won't be, which is going to be disappointing. But there's a massive opportunity with KD injured for Kurucs and Musa to really step up into large roles. Campaign, my mate, 18 points on 7 of 10 shooting for the Mavericks. Good to see at least him getting an opportunity. I don't really see him signing with an NBA team at this point. And I am pretty much giving up on him. The Lakers and the Bulls. The Lakers team, just not a lot to look at with them. I want to talk about the Bulls. I thought Kobe White looked pretty good for Chicago. Looked solid in his passing. Defending was okay. Offensively looked pretty good. Chandler Hutchison scored 15 points. You don't even notice he was on the court, though. I'm not really convinced of his NBA future. Big Shaq Harrison.
Big Shaq.
One thing I noticed about Shaq Harrison is he was playing all of last season wearing the number 3 and didn't even make a reference to it.
2 + 2 = 4 - 1. That's free quick maths. Big Shaq.
Yeah, but he looked good. I think that Big Shaq should be in the rotation ahead of Chris Dunn. I don't think Chris Dunn's going to play another game for the Bulls. What that remains to be seen. And I don't think White is going to be the starter on this squad. It's going to be Tomas Satoransky. But White looked good. But the most impressive play for Chicago was Daniel Gafford. Yeah, all of it was on dunks and alley-oops. 90% shooting, 21 points. But he was active. He had 21 and 10. He blocked 4 shots. He looked really, really good. Now, of course, they've got Markkanen. They've got Carter. They've got Thad Young. They just signed Luke Kornet. They've got big Chris Felizio. But Gafford is a very interesting backup center prospect who looked really, really good in this game. It's one summer league game, so we're not going to get too rigid about it, but he was really impressive during that game and was probably the player of that game over Kobe White. Before we get into the Zion game, let's look at the Golden State Warriors and the Charlotte Hornets. More Jacob Evans at point guard during this game. He was okay. He's generating assists. I think that there's going to be a real opportunity for him with Golden State. He had 12 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists. So he's a name to watch for those deeper leagues. Jordy Poole dropped in 15 points. The shooting was poor and he didn't do too much else. The shooting needs to be better than this, of course. Well, Alan Smaljic, 13 and 7. A lot of people I talk to really like this guy. He is a name to watch, but of course, yeah, Looney and Cauley Stein are going to be in his way for minutes, but an interesting deeper league type of a player. For Charlotte, Dwayne Bacon shot the ball a lot, scored a lot, doesn't do much else. That's a concern with him, but there are huge opportunities with Jeremy Lamb and Kemba both moving on. Will Batum be next? Bridges and Bacon look to be into a large role. Terry Rozier, the starting point guard on this team, but Devontae Graham, he could very well be better than him. He looked pretty good here. Cody Martin struggled. Not a great option. Jalen McDaniels didn't do huge amounts for Charlotte. Now let's talk New Orleans. The Thomas and Mack Center was alight with Zion fever. He came out in the warm-ups throwing down big dunks. Everyone was losing their shit pretty much during that entire portion. He struggled a little bit in the first portion of the game, but in saying that, he still had 10 first quarter points and 4 dunks and did whatever he wanted a lot of the time with a crazy steal off Kevin Knox. Just ripped the ball out of his hands and then smashed it all over his head. Zion, of course, only ended up playing 9 minutes due to a knee injury. You would have to think that his summer league is done. He had 11 points, 3 rebounds and a steal in that time. He did struggle a bit. A couple of his threes were way off. But the fact that he still scored 11 points in 9 minutes was pretty impressive. Frankie Jackson, he took every shot that he wanted to. I'm not sure really where he's fitting into the rotation this season. He is very much of a score first only player. 30 points as the point guard with 0 assists is very summer league. While Kenrick Williams, 5 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals and a block. He's like a Nick Batum type of fantasy line guy. Of course, Brandon Ingram's a starting small forward. Kenrick's not going to be getting these minutes, but he's always a name to watch in case opportunities arise because he can put up those numbers, and we did see it last year. For the Knicks, RJ Barrett, I didn't think he looked very good. The shooting was way off. He showed so many of the troubling tendencies that he had at Duke in terms of his lack of vision and poor shot selection, so he's a real worry to me. I think he's not going to be a guy I'm targeting in any drafts. Alonzo Trier, 21 points. Now, where his minutes come from this season remains to be seen. Barrett might be at the 2. There's Reggie Bullock. Wayne Ellington came across as well. So Trier might struggle to get enough minutes, but he looked pretty solid in this game. While the Fort Kevin Knox started off strong, hit his first 3 3-pointers, had grabbed 8 rebounds, but then didn't do a huge amount after that. I still worry about Knox, and I don't think that he's much of a fantasy option. But Mitchie Robinson, a lot of fouls again, which is going to be his problem this season. Still blocked 4 shots, had 2 steals, 10 boards. He's going to have a real chance at being a top 50 player this season. This game, of course, halted early due to that earthquake. The Magic then smacked the Spurs, and that game also was stopped at the end due to the earthquake. Lonnie Walker for San Antonio played pretty well. Mo Bamba in that game was back in action. 15 points in 14 minutes. Daquan Jeffries was okay, but nothing super spectacular. Luka Samardžić didn't do a huge amount. Walker, 28 points in his 23 minutes. That's going to wrap it up for today's show, guys. I'm going to be headed off to Summer League again today. I'll be tweeting stuff out as I see it happen, then recording again in a couple of days with any more news, mainly if DeMarcus Cousins signs. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and on YouTube. Give me a thumbs up, leave a comment, hit the subscribe button. You know all those ways. Follow me on Twitter at @RedRock_Beeble. Signing off for Vegas. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Kawhi Leonard.